Radiology is somewhat poetic in nature. Your radiology report becomes a reflection of impacting patient care through your dictum, your cadence. And I don't think AI truly violates that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Radiology Report podcast, where we are having conversations with the leaders transforming radiology today. You can find us on radiologyreportpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Daniel Arnold. Today, we are joined by Dr. Richard Seguritan. Dr. Seguritan is a diagnostic and body interventional radiologist and the current practice president of Rad Partners Seoul. Dr. Seguritan graduated from the American University of Antigua College of Medicine in 2013, and fun fact, he is the youngest RP practice president. Dr. Seguritan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor, and I look forward to this conversation.
I really wanted to have you on. As you know, we talk a lot about careers in radiology here, and a lot of folks are thinking about different ways to shape their career. And I thought yours is really interesting as, you know, you took this opportunity to move from the Northeast to, you know, a city that you're really excited about, but also, you know, take advantage of, you know, leadership opportunities and really grow in your career really quickly. And so really excited to get into all that and learn about, you know, how you've been on such a rapid trajectory and what sort of initiatives you're excited about. But first, congrats on the addition to the family. I know you've got a young one at home now.
Yes, 6 months and probably 1 week. We're actually, after this podcast, we're taking 6 month photos at home.
Oh, great. Great. Well, we'll have to share them alongside the podcast. Are they sitting up? Is the baby sitting up yet?
Yes. And crawling backwards, which is steps to crawling forwards, I hear.
Yeah. Well, it's a fun phase when they can finally sit up on their own. So congrats on the baby and all the milestones. But tell us a little bit about your background. Where'd you grow up? Where are you from? How did you find your way into the wild world of radiology?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Staten Island, New York. My parents are Filipino immigrants. And as a background, my father is a radiologist and practiced in Staten Island. So you'd think the easy pathway is just to follow his steps. But just like any other young kid or college kid, I was pretty inquisitive, curious, explorative, indecisive, right? Just like all of us. And didn't know what to do. So I kind of, in my formative years, was just exploring everything. So actually, my first interest was business, finance, economics. So I went to actually the City University of New York, Baruch College, which had a great business program. Ended up that I just grew fond of the science classes and biology classes that I enjoyed more. So ended up transferring to Stony Brook. And in my years at Stony Brook, I studied everything science, from biology to microbiology to chemistry. Ended up with an ecology and evolution degree there. And I actually wanted to pursue my master's and a PhD in that. That was my passion. And again, ever-changing dynamic mindset, never satisfied, always wanted to keep learning. So in addition to that, I also wanted to explore the job market, see if I can join a lab or something at that point in time. So I truly explored everything. And just having a conversation and really not satisfied with that choice, I decided to apply for one medical school. It was in the Caribbean. At that point, I was on the route for a PhD and master's. So I took my GREs. I did not take an MCAT. So I ended up going to a Caribbean school that wasn't taking an MCAT at that point in time. And I just followed that career pathway, just in medicine, just because what I learned in college was that I enjoyed the sciences so much, and how could I truly apply that and feel valued about, you know, my life decisions. So ended up doing that, still not really radiology focused, but explored everything. I was interested in cardiology, sports medicine, as well as just regular, just primary care. I found value in that. It was during my interviews with all those various specialties that I just felt more natural in the radiology setting, the culture, the collegiality of it. And ended up going to a residency in Staten Island. It was actually the hospital I was born at.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was your dad still practicing at the time?
No, he actually retired when I was a medical student. But there was a gap. So like the lineage was there and it seemed like the pathway was straightforward, but it truly wasn't. And just like any kid or college kid, I was back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
when you zoom out, it all seems normal, right? But when you're in, when you're living, the one living the life, it feels a little more up in the air and turns. And my wife, same thing. She is a radiologist. Her dad's a radiologist. But she started her career in the trucking industry, and, you know, she studied engineering and did consulting and sales for a bit before, you know, finding her winding path back. And, you know, I think something that happens, I'm curious if this was the case for you, is radiology objectively is an amazing career. And most people don't have the ability to appreciate that unless they know older radiologists. And so there's something to it, I think, once you're, if you have the added benefit of having known an older radiologist, and then you're thinking and considering other career paths, you just, it has this leg up. I think if it was an objectively bad career, it might scare you away, but it just happens to be a very good one. So, you know, when you're weighing it versus cardiology or primary care, and you just have that added bias, I imagine it gives you that little nudge.
Yeah, I think there's an inherent genetic quality and personality to it, because it's solving a puzzle. Me and my dad used to do a word scramble in the Daily News, and we used to love doing that together when I was growing up. And there's a visual aspect. My dad was an artist. He painted a lot, so I did the same thing. So I think those personality traits truly fit the penchant for radiology.
Was your dad born in the U.S. or in the Philippines?
He was born in the Philippines and did his residency here.
Amazing. Well, okay, so you're practicing, you choose radiology, you're practicing back in Staten Island. What did you decide to, did you do a fellowship?
Yeah, so, I mean, just, again, the same curiosity of understanding the intricacies and complexities of the body. Body imaging and intervention were in my mindset. So I went to Brown University in Rhode Island to fulfill that fellowship, and had great mentors there. Obviously, you know, great recognition, great pride in that school. I owe a lot to the mentorship I got there to kind of drive me forward.
And so how did you pick your first job after residency or after fellowship?
It was a challenge because I was a single guy. I wasn't really narrowed down into a region. So like just being in Staten Island or New York wasn't my limitation. So I leaned into some of my hobbies. Some of them were just hiking, arts and photography, as well as golf. So I narrowed it down to South Florida, as well as Arizona, because it kind of had all those. And Arizona had better hiking.
What year was this?
Oh my gosh. That's probably 2019.
Okay, so it was a little before the radiology market got as hot as it is now, or did it feel pretty hot at that time as well?
I think it was on the up, but I don't think it's as hot as it was now.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the practice that you joined.
Sure. So we're a small to medium-sized practice. We have 15 to 20 radiologists. We have a footprint in Phoenix as well as Tucson. We serve a community-based healthcare system, a hospital system. So it has the community feel, but with you know, a high level of care. So they choose their subspecialties that they want to focus on, and we kind of help drive that subspecialty. You know, radiology touches everything in the patient continuum. So, you know, providing that level of service to a community that deserves it was something that allured to me, as well as our practice.
And so do you have imaging centers? Is it mostly in the hospital? What's it kind of case mix like? Anything like that you can share?
It's hospital-based. There's no outpatient imaging centers dedicated for our practice at this point in time, but it's definitely an initiative that we're looking forward to. I mean, we have the referral base and referral network. So it's definitely something that we've looked into, and obviously there's some hurdles to get to that point, but I remain optimistic in that we could get some of those as well.
Awesome. And so the practice, when you joined it, was it already part of Rad Partners?
No. So it was a larger national kind of healthcare practice, to put it that way. It was envisioned at that point in time. So I was looking everywhere from private practice to somewhat corporatized structures or nationalized structures. So it's just one that kind of suit my needs. I was open to everything, and I want to be in a relatively populated metropolitan area. I was still a single guy at that time still. It had everything I wanted, and they gave me the opportunity at that time to help lead a oncology division. So I think that was a certain aspect that kind of drove me towards this group of people in that practice per se.
Very interesting. And then so the practice that you were part of initially Envision, how did it become part of Rad Partners?
So just due to complexities of some of the radiology demands in today's market, I think their contract turned at its term. So Rad Partners came in and took over. Most of our rads were kind of scrambling on what to do at that point in time, but we enjoyed working together. I think we built a culture, even in my short time, to kind of enjoy working with each other and working with this hospital facility. So we ended up staying with Radiology Partners and that hospital system. And we've enjoyed it ever since. And I think there's been a lot of changes that I've implemented as well as RP has implemented to kind of create sustainability and success for our group.
Way to keep a positive mindset. I think what you describe in positive terms at the time maybe might have been pretty stressful. As a result, it sounds like that positivity might have played a role in you taking on a leadership role within that group. Tell me a little bit about how that came to be that you landed as practice president.
So when Rad Partners took over the contract, they usually have a transition team to kind of make sure everything is stable, the foundations of Rad Partners' philosophy is set. All our radiologists of our local group kind of embraced it. I think it needed just a little bit more direction, a little bit more communication. I think there was a lack of that fundamentally. And personally speaking, I think there needed to be a change to kind of update to the current radiology landscape, which is a very dynamic healthcare landscape overall. So I think providing a younger mindset and creative solutions was kind of my pathway in. And I was entrusted by our radiologist to kind of do that even at a young age.
So what are the responsibilities of a practice president?
It's everything. It's from day-to-day managing local practice, constantly putting out fires, being available, signing files, documents, ensuring quality, safety, improving policies, recruitment. One of the benefits of being part of Rad Partners is that we have a President's Council meeting. It's a forum for all the practice leaders to kind of share ideas, strategically plan and kind of prepare for whatever comes ahead. And you can just take that information, kind of apply it to your practice. Every practice is truly its own individual organism. So, you know, the best insight is knowing what your practice is capable of, the limitations, and truly how to use that information that you can garner from other practices and make it your own and create your own identity.
Within that, do you have P&L responsibility for the group?
Yes and no. In terms of P&L, we have administrative partnerships. We have admins that also work amongst us with our practice that kind of help create that landscape and understand kind of the logistics of it.
Got it. So more focused on the clinical quality and coverage side of the practice, making sure that you can meet all the demands, grow the practice, and provide high quality, bring the doctors in. If we're going to grow, how are we going to do it? If we're going to set up a new clinic, what are we going to do to staff it? And what technology and equipment do we need? Whatever it might be. And then you've got a sort of partner, if you will, who's managing the financial aspects of that and sort of working through all those challenges together.
Yes. I mean, we have a practice director who's really become a part of the family of our practice. So yeah, no, we get along and I think we share responsibilities. So we know what each other is good at. Just knowing the balance of the two probably makes a good flourishing practice. So we help each other out in probably all those responsibilities, essentially.
So what's an example of a key initiative that you're working on right now?
Honestly, it's just being creative in a dynamic, ever-changing healthcare environment, changing the cultural mindset of radiology and creating the idea of visibility when radiology is known to be kind of stuck in a dark room. But overall, I think it's just integrating some of the AI. I know AI is amongst us. And how do we implement that to the local practice, but still maintain the integrity of radiology? Radiology is somewhat poetic in nature. Your radiology report becomes a reflection of impacting patient care through your dictum, your cadence. And I don't think AI truly violates that, at least the ones that we utilize. It kind of preserves and probably enhances the spirit of the radiology report. we've also been wanting to introduce other resources, so educational resources. Our group is a small group, so we have a finite amount of subspecialties within our group. Despite being part of a community healthcare system, the demands of subspecialty breeds are evolving. You can't just be a general radiologist anymore. You have to be kind of a master of all. So using some resources, educational, with many fellowships, Medality has been a great resource for us. It just kind of takes away the limitations of bandwidth in terms of subspecialty needs, and honestly creates efficiency with our radiologists by providing more than a single subspecialty level of service.
Yeah, I appreciate the plug. Full disclosure for the audience. So Dr. Sigurdsson and I got to know each other because, you know, I think he was using it on a personal level. And one of the challenges that we hear a lot for groups in community practice is what you just said. You have to practice across multiple specialties, often 2, 3, 4, or even more sometimes. And so, you know, if you're not as comfortable, you still have to be able to take on some of the MSK volume, some of the advanced body volume, whatever comes through. And so programs like Medality help you kind of expand your coverage, especially as you're kind of continuing to grow your team and into more specialty areas.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the challenges is that like rads are limited for sure. Acquiring more subspecialties by means of traditional fellowships is easier said than done and probably not pursued by many, probably not the majority. So how did we try to expand our capacity with the limitations of, hey, the rads are the rads that we have, the resources are the resources we have. And that was one creative solution that we used in this evolving radiology landscape of, hey, we need this subspecialty read, this subspecialty read. So it was actually a perfect unison of how do we solve for that challenge?
You mentioned culture several times as like part of your initiative to really improve the way that radiologists, it sounds like, both collaborate as a team, collaborate with external stakeholders, kind of get out there more. Tell me a little bit about culture. What have you seen work?
I think I joined the group that was very familiar with themselves previously. I joined in kind of as an outsider. They knew each other just by work means. So me being a younger guy, eager and wanting to be friendly with everyone, gain everyone's acceptance and trust, we just had a lot of outings together as a team. Radiology is known to be very by themselves, you know, non-social. So we wanted to change that dynamic in our practice. We know each other's lives very well. We know when someone's at a swim meet. We know when someone had a baby, and we look forward to that. So I think the idea of adding Medality to each of the radiologists creates a better work environment, creates a teamwork environment. And it's been great working in this practice for sure because of that.
This is a super tactical question, but what medium do you use to keep in touch? Is it text? Do you guys have like a group chat in your packs? Do you use Teams? Like, have you found anything that works or sticks for you guys?
Well, our practice director is probably like the quarterback or the glue to our practice. And I've really focused on her being the one to organize it. So she gets a lot of communication response by means of our practice director, Holly McLean.
Holly, shout out to Holly, the glue that keeps it all together.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of our culture-driven outings was to celebrate Holly's birthday. Holly does a lot for us. Every practice deserves a Holly to kind of be the glue because she looks out for every single radiologist just as much as we look out for her. So just creating that culture and functionality of the practice has been a remarkable impact.
So let's talk a little bit about the industry. You know, hiring's hard right now. Are you hiring actively? How is that going? Like, what have you seen working there?
Sure. I mean, there's certainly increased demand for radiology studies. There's definitely limited supply of radiologists. So that there's a large delta that the radiology landscape has been facing in terms of that. We're actively hiring. And I think we're even exploring opportunities of advanced practitioners that can kind of mitigate some of the more handleable tasks for radiology to kind of help advance the radiology field. In terms of other subspecialties, there's definitely clear pathways for advanced practitioners to explore those routes. Radiology has been severely limited, so that truly magnifies kind of that delta. There's increasing radiology volume and limited resources So how do we handle that? It's certainly been a challenge.
I was talking to an orthopedic practice the other day. They have 15 orthopedic surgeons and 15 orthopedic PAs.
Exactly.
So, you know, and I asked, what do the PAs do? They staff the urgent cares. They communicate to the patients. You know, there's certain initial exams they can do to triage patients. I don't know what an orthopedic practice, you know, the full scope of what they can do or don't, can't do, but I just found that interesting as you think about capacity management in other practices, as you just shared. You have 15 radiologists and how many PAs or APPs?
We have one RPA or radiology.
So one, 15 to one.
Exactly, 15 to one. It's definitely not 15 to 15. I think radiology's nuance is that, you know, a lot of it's diagnostic and there hasn't been buy-in from a diagnostic capacity from some of these practitioners. So I think that's a challenge. Whereas in other subspecialties, I think there's a more clear pathway and it's more standard within the realm of radiology. It's a new kind of emerging field position that we've been trying to take advantage of, but it does get met with resistance at times. And it takes someone to communicate, you know, the applicability within the healthcare system and how does it create efficiency to truly make it work.
You brought up AI earlier. Can you give any examples of an AI that you guys are currently using in your practice?
Yeah, sure. There's, I guess, multiple facets of AI that we've been using and kind of tackles different parts of the radiology workflow. One of them is RecoMD, which actually tracks and kind of suggests some quality initiatives that we've had. So best practice recommendations. So just based on some research white papers, if it detects something within our report or detects a finding within our report, a specific finding, it makes the standard recommendations. So that we can capture those patients and follow up. Another tool is obviously just AI diagnostic capacity. So can AI drive efficiency and diagnostic accuracy? So we use ADOC, which AI doc, and there's several algorithms that even the FDA approves, such as cerebral hemorrhage, PE detection, as well as cervical spine fractures. Those are some tools that we utilize. And lastly, from a reporting efficiency standpoint, we haven't implemented it yet, but it sounds very exciting. It's called RAD-AI. RAD-AI is a tool that looks at all your individual radiologists' personalized reports, not another radiologist, and based on the findings, creates what it thinks that you usually say in your impression. So as I was alluding to, that radiology reporting is somewhat poetic in nature. It still maintains that because it's your reports that it's basing off of.
So in that example, okay, so RAD-AI sounds interesting. You guys aren't using it yet. Is that something where you as a local practice can implement a solution? Or when it gets into sort of the technology and the workflow, is that typically sort of a national initiative? How do you navigate those types of waters?
I take advantage as much as I can, being part of a smaller to medium-sized practice, by saying, we'll try out anything. And with the potential for scale. So I think we have a good group that provides good feedback. We're very openly communicative. So we can kind of trial out some of these products, give our honest feedback. And when it goes to scale, obviously, they take our feedback into account. So I usually take our smaller practice mindset and kind of leverage that into the scope of a scalable opportunity.
It's really smart. It's so complicated to implement a, you know, solution over a 200 person, 300 person enterprise. And so, you know, being able to pilot, test, learn, iterate is helpful for, you know, the startups out there that are trying to figure out, does this work within a group and how do we navigate into a larger organization, and gives you the opportunity to be the innovation hub, the innovation center for the practice. Last question that we always like to ask on the show is sort of what advice you have for, you know, new radiologists. It's an exciting job market right now. How should people think about navigating their career? What advice would you have for anyone kind of entering the market today?
I would say be persistently open-minded into the job market. Radiology is a great field. So congratulations on entering this wonderful field. And obviously, technology is kind of advancing the field very symbiotically at this point in time. So it's a great time to join it. In terms of the pros and cons in joining a larger network such as Rad Partners, the pros, as I've been alluding to and taking advantage of it, when it comes to lobbying, which we've been historically shorthanded previously just due to our sheer size, as well as kind of limited to small practice groups, not having too much of a voice, it becomes impactful when you have a broader network behind you. The cons of joining a kind of larger healthcare network is probably the stigma. I think a lot of PE-backed practices are truly stigmatized, and it's not a homogenous. That world isn't homogenous. We truly make our decisions locally, so I'm not just reiterating things that are said from, you know, the broader healthcare network. We found a way to create our own practice personality and identity. My suggestion for anyone looking for radiology as well as a practice is to truly find what the practice makeup is and what's the culture there. What are their short-term goals? What are their long-term goals? And just know what provides you value. For me, it was providing probably the highest level of care to a community hospital system that truly required it to an underserved population, as well as just gaining respect from my colleagues and respective radiologists group. So I think leadership just kind of fell into place because of those. I stay true to those two virtues.
Well, Dr. Zagorotan, that is really great advice and really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
No, thank you so much. It's been enjoyable.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Radiology Report podcast. Be sure to visit us at theradiologyreportpodcast.com or subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts to join us for our next episode. We are always looking for great guests. If you have someone you'd like to hear on the show, please get in touch with us online.